Welcome to show number 67 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. Yes, we are back for another week, another podcast of the Sports Card Show. You've got lots of good things to listen to this week. We debuted the Sports Card Focus podcast, thanks to Chris from the Football Card Podcast, and thanks to Gelman from the Sports Cards Uncensored.com for their pieces. Really looking forward to the next show because we have our hotline up and running and people are of our forum, and I actually put a tweet out on Twitter and got some phone calls actually right afterwards. So 916-222-1116. The phone number really couldn't be much easier. 916-222-1116. Give us a call. You could talk about anything you want. Some of the responses will be played here, but I'll use a lot of them for the Sports Card Focus podcast. If you haven't checked that out, you can find the episodes at sportscardradio.com or at sportscardfocus.com as well. Got lots of exciting things to talk about on today's program. You know, we got limited basketball that we'll probably talk about. Talk about the set. Miami 6 from our fan forum won the entire box and got a Dwayne Wade prime jersey card and a Kevin Love autograph. And he had a great week. Maybe we provided him some mojo because he did quite well after pulling that card. And so he got an autograph card of him and some other nice cards in that box. So we did that. We had 2010 Crown Royal football. I think the Toby Gerhart autograph out of that was kind of the premier hit. So that was really cool. And then we did Score Hockey today. So that was like tons of cards. So we did that. And so if that's not enough for you, thanks to the Fantasy Sports Fans UK, fsfuk.co.uk, fsfuk.co.uk has generously provided some other boxes that we'll be doing this week. 2010 Topps Chrome Football, 2010 Bowman Chrome Baseball, and 2010 Topps Update Baseball. So we got three more cracks. And then I got word from Panini today that we'll be getting Rookies and Stars, 2010-11 Rookies and Stars, and 2010 Panini Certified Football. So we've got five more breaks. We just got done with about five or six, and we've got five more on the way. So if you're not a member of our fan forum, make sure you head on over to sportscardradio.com during the breaks of this podcast, or maybe even right now while you're listening. There might be a new contest up, and we put them up throughout the week. They fill up fast. The Score Hockey, I put that up, and it filled up in a few hours. We had everybody pick one team, and I thought it might take a day or two, because I think there's about 30 NHL teams. And it filled up within a few hours. So people sign up for them very quickly. We try to open it up to where, you know, we random off maybe four or five packs. So 50 people can enter and four or five people win. So we kind of try to make it so you can enter and have a chance. And sometimes it's a guaranteed spot like the Score break. So very exciting. And we definitely appreciate our sponsors, fsfuk.co.uk. And, of course, Panini America. .net, and you can also find their blog, find a link to their blog on our homepage on the right hand side as well. They're putting out some nice cards. They definitely listen to collectors. They want to hear what you have to say. You can hit them up on Facebook, on Twitter, and they all have emails and things like that. You can contact them if you have any insight or any feedback. I encourage you to direct your comments to them because they will listen and do your best. And we are going to do our best to talk about even more stuff. We've got, we'll probably talk about Topps Triple Threads football since we're not high rollers enough to buy a box of that. We'll probably just talk about it on today's show. And we'll probably talk about, we're definitely talking about limited basketball since we finally opened a box. So we'll talk about limited basketball. We might be able to even throw in a vintage set. I have a YouTube video from a listener that I'll actually play because it's a video you don't necessarily have to watch if you don't want to. It actually plays well. It'll probably play fairly well on this podcast, and you won't miss out if you don't go and watch it. But I know many of our fan forum members had watched it, and the guy actually sent me an email, and so we'll play his YouTube. I'll give you his username and everything on YouTube so you can find it, and some of his other, he actually puts up some of his mail days and some nice stuff. So definitely worth checking out. So we'll play that. But I definitely want to get your phone calls. 916-222-1116. Give us a call. Talk about anything you want. The Sports Card Focus podcast, if you haven't checked it out, I know many of you probably have already, but if you haven't checked it out, it's meant to be the open audio forum for sports cards. There's tons of great written forums, and we all know, I mean, we have a nice one at Sports Card Radio, but there's even better ones out there. There's several of them out there. I mean, even like Blowout Cards, and I notice Atlanta Sports Cards has a forum now, and obviously like Beckett has a forum, and Sports Card Forum, and Freedom Cardboard, Hobby Kings, and of course our really, really good friends at Card Collectors World. .com have a great forum, and it's growing. It's since I've been following them since early this year, they definitely have more people online and more people have joined, and it looks like they have more interaction and stuff on that site. So it's exciting to see people that help us out, and then we help them out in return. It's good to see that people are enjoying, because it's a nice forum that they have over there at Card Collectors World. So there's lots of great written forums where you can make trades and do all kinds of great stuff. Well, now we have an open audio forum, and if you don't want to, you know, if you don't have the capabilities, a mic or a program to record audio, you don't want to go through that hassle and things like that, I don't blame you. You can just give us a call 24 hours a day, anytime you want. The time limit, for the most part, is 5 minutes. I actually have two different inboxes. Kind of depends. I'm actually running the phone line through my computer, so it kind of depends. If my computer's asleep, I think you might have less time. I think you might only have maybe 2 or 3 minutes, but 2 or 3 minutes is a long time. But for the most part, during Pacific daylight time, you're going to have at least 5 minutes to record your message. That's a heck of a long time. This podcast has been going on for about 5 minutes. I seem like I've been talking forever. So give us a call, 916-222-1116. You can talk about anything you want. That's a Sacramento, California area code if you're interested in knowing where it is from. Most people, if you're like me, I have like rollover minutes. I have a bazillion. I could call like Bangladesh and stay on the phone for a whole month straight and still have plenty of minutes left over and not have to pay any extra. So I'm sure you can spare 30 or 40 seconds. If you mess up on the phone call or don't like how it goes, don't worry. Just tell me on that call. Just say, hey, I messed up. I'm going to call back. And just call back. Don't worry. The phone line's probably almost always open. We're not that popular. It's never going to be jammed up. You're going to be able to get through. Don't worry if you mess up. I'll be able to figure out your intentions and play them back for us. So I'm actually soliciting 2010 calendar year product of the year. I know there's going to be some really nice 2010 football. There's even some basketball, that a lot of good basketball is going to come out in 2011 calendar year. But hey, there's tons of products that came out in 2010. I mean, tons. Bowman Chrome, Bowman Regular, Bowman Baseball, Panini Crown Royale Football, Topps Finest Football. There's tons of great products that have come out. I mean, just a ridiculous National Treasures Basketball. I mean, I wish I had the kind of money to throw down on that. I think the rookie patches in that look kind of sick. I noticed the Tyreek. I was like, man, I wonder if I can afford a Tyreek Evans National Treasures rookie. And then I looked to see how much they were going for, and I scratched that off the potential wish list. Although it would have to sell for like $150 to be in my price range, but they sell for well over that. So even products like that. So anything in the calendar year, give us a call, 916-222-1116. Give your shout out for product of the year, products of the year. Doesn't matter if you want to give one for each sport or just one sport for all of them. Doesn't matter. Give us a call. We're going to play those probably in a series. I already have 4 or 5 already, and it's only been like 2 days, so hopefully it keeps going like that, and we keep getting a handful over the course of the week, and we'll be able to play those on Sports Card Focus. Toward the end of the year, we'll tally up the votes, and then maybe we'll have a box break or something. If it's not like the cup, I think we have a vote. I'll spoil one vote, but we have a vote for, I think, the cup hockey. I don't think I can afford a box of that. But any of the mid-range price stuff, maybe we can do a box break or something like that. So go ahead and give us a call, 916-222-1116. Support our show. Don't make me pay money for all this stuff and not end up using it, although it's not that expensive. I'm actually kind of excited, and we've already gotten some participation already, so it makes me even that much more excited to get to our next segment, where we'll play a YouTube video. It's kind of a funny story, not really a funny story, but just an interesting story. It's kind of funny, definitely after the fact, listening to it now. Definitely the person, when he was going through the time, but he definitely was rewarded. Not to spoil the video or what he has to say, but we'll play that, and we'll probably talk about, we'll definitely have some contests that we've already promoted, but I'll probably promo those throughout the rest of the show. You have limited basketball that we'll get to at some point. We'll talk about Triple Threads football, which came out, so we'll talk a little bit about that. There might be some other things. We might be able to throw a vintage set or talk some vintage cards and things like that. I'm always down to do that. So we'll see where this show goes, but you'll find out right after this.
Card Collectors World is a forum where you can buy, sell, trade, and discuss sports, non-sports cards, comics, games, toys, and more. Like to win free stuff? Of course you do. We have contests with loads of free prizes, card drafts, group breaks, and more. It is 100% free to join. Come check us out at cardcollectorsworld.com.
And it is great to be back. I'm excited to be back. I'm not exactly sure what we're going to be talking about in this segment, but if you have any suggestions, you can always send us an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com, or you can give us a call now, 916-222-1116, and say whatever you want on air, and we'll play it unfiltered. Definitely we'll filter. If it goes on this show and you happen to say something, well, it'll be filtered. I'll warn you on that. But on Sports Card Focus, anything kind of goes there. So you can tailor your message how you choose. I don't mind. This segment, eventually we're going to get to our YouTube video from our friend and listener Daniel4619 on YouTube. So we'll bring that to you. It's a little 3-minute clip that we'll bring to you probably toward the end of this segment. But again, our contest, we just got wrapped up with Crown Royale football. Again, we want to thank Panini America. They've hooked us up with like hundreds of dollars worth of product to break. And so I think we busted more boxes in the last month than we busted all throughout 2010 before that. So it's really exciting to take a look at the new stuff right as it comes out. I didn't typically do that, even as a shop owner. You know, I was always, you know, a lot of the times our buyers and stuff like that were people trying to save money. And sometimes on back in those days, there weren't those exclusive contracts and stuff. So it was often things that were out for a month or two had gone down in price or kind of flopped as a product. But we're selling it at a reasonable price, and sometimes that's what people were looking for. And so that's what sometimes our product line kind of mixed up. But it's nice to see all the brand new stuff kind of right when it comes out and give you all a chance to win. So one of the products that we did was Panini Limited Basketball, and I was excited to see my brother actually did this box break. But it came out November 3rd or thereabouts. It's around, the hobby SRP is around $100. I'm not 100% sure what they're selling for at the moment, but the big hits in terms of rookie cards, if you're a rookie card, there's Material Phenom Rookies, and it's numbered 151 to 190. Those are numbered out of 249. You're going to have DeMarcus Cousins, Evan Turner's in there, John Wall. You know, one of the guys, Eric Bledsoe, has been playing fairly well. I'm trying to see very quickly if he's in this list. There he is. He's card number 167. He's been playing well in place of Baron Davis, who looks like he's still recovering from an injury, and Eric Gordon even missed some time, so he saw some really heavy minutes. He looks like a decent point guard or a decent kind of backcourt player for the Clippers, so I wanted to point him out. That's one player that I noticed. So But there's some nice, there's some actually some very nice cards in here. The Decade Dominance cards. I see John Stockton. I put up one of those pictures. There's Scottie Pippen in here, Hakeem Olajuwon, Bernard King, and of course our friend Kobe Bryant. I say our friend. I kind of wish I was friends with Kobe Bryant, but he has brought me much joy over the years and many championships, 5 to be exact. So he is a friend in terms of my family. So there's nice things in here. Retired numbers. So there are some, if you like rookies, there's a nice mix of veteran. I would say that this set does have a nice mix of veteran. And when I say veteran, I'm talking about Gerald Wallace, Elton Brand, guys that have been in the league. Brooke Lopez, he's actually a really good player. Al Jefferson's pretty good when he's healthy. Monte Ellis, again, another player that's really good when he's healthy. Vince Carter's having a pretty good season this year, as well as putting up some nice number. Marcus Soles in here. Kevin Durant is just having a fantastic individual year, and the team's doing pretty well. Next Day Autographs, if you're fans of on-card autographs, I see Jeremy Lin in here and all the other rookies, John Wall, Evan Turner, Wesley Johnson is in here, and many others. So it's a pretty nice balance set. It's obviously, by the box, you don't get many cards. We got 7 cards. I think we got 1 extra card. That's what my brother said. And I watched the video. We got 1 extra card. You get 1 pack. It's basically that 1 pack box. So Panini's been doing this. You get 3 autographs or memorabilia cards per box. So that's pretty cool. And, there's a mix of cards. I think we actually got 1 extra hit in our box. So we got 1 extra card, which was ended up being an extra hit. And you can see during a case, you're going to get a Trios autograph at a 49 or less. You're going to get 1 autograph prime memorabilia card numbered at a 10 or less, and 1 autograph memorabilia rookie card out of a 15 box case. So pretty nice set. And the thing that stood out about me, and I think my brother made note of it on the video, was the cards were a lot thicker than maybe I can remember limited being in the past, but maybe what I was expecting for sure. The cards are a lot thicker, and Miami Six, the lucky winner on our fan forum, will be pleasantly surprised, I think. The quality of the cards, although it puts me in a bind because they're actually thick enough to where they don't fit in the little card savers I have. So, but I saved the box and I'll be able to repackage it up. And I've done things in the past where I think I even shipped our Jimmy Clausen all the way overseas, and I didn't put it directly in a top loader. I kind of put it between 2 or 3 of them and shipped it pretty carefully, and I think it made it all right. So if you package it up, it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing that they can pack. I know I've seen cargo ships and how they package those things up. They don't treat packages. They jam things in there as tight as it gets. And it's amazing that cards stay in pretty. That's why I take such good time, and I take such, I try to put as much cardboard in there as possible, because I've seen videos online of how they treat cards. So Panini Limited, nice thick cards, nice condition cards. By the box, you're definitely gambling. This year's rookie class, I don't think none of them have really jumped out. John Wall is doing really good, but he is hampered a little bit by an injury right now. And I'm sure that will be the case with most of them during this season. It's a really long NBA season. But we'll see if any of them really stands out. Obviously, Blake Griffin's doing really well. So a lot of people are going back to 09-10, which was kind of discounted. There was a lot of sets selling kind of at a discount, mainly because, or in part, I shouldn't say mainly, but probably in part because of Blake Griffin. But now that he's playing well. He looks like a really, really good player. Man, I can only imagine if he was on Boston, or if he was in Miami, or even at the other team in Los Angeles, what kind of attention he would be getting, and the kind of, he's already putting up great numbers, and he might not even put up as good numbers on a team with other players that take up the ball and shots and things like that, like LeBron, although LeBron does a pretty good job distributing. But I know Chris Bosh's numbers have gone down a little bit. And Dwayne Wade's numbers haven't gone down that much, but definitely Chris Bosh's numbers have gone down. But Blake Griffin's a tremendous player. And so people might be going back to 09-10. So basketball is pretty cool. And I think we're definitely, I think limited, compared to last year's limited, and even compared to like just recent sets that just came out, maybe in 09-10, like a Panini update, I think this set is actually pretty nice. And even maybe compared to like Prestige, I think Limited is actually pretty nice. Buy the box, you're always gambling. I probably will always say that with anything. But buy the single card and things like that, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. Even the base cards are serial numbered out of 199. So if you're just a fan of even like J.J. Redick or like Chris Paul or Rudy Gay or any of those kind of guys, you can pick up their base cards for probably not that much. And, you know, it's serial numbered. It's a nice, actually, kind of thicker card. So it's pretty cool. And you might find some interesting stuff from Panini Limited. So, and if you don't like that, we have the more reasonably priced Panini Rookies and Stars basketball, which will be busting probably next week or maybe the week after. But keep an eye on our fan forum for that. And congratulations to our fan forum member that won the entire box of Panini Limited. And boy, if boxes keep rolling in like they have this week, maybe we will keep giving away boxes, or we'll do more contests like we give a whole box away. And it'd actually be kind of fun. Maybe we do a 24-pack box or something like that for somebody. So we might do that in the future, but we'll do other kind of things. And I forgot, I will have a contest for our phone-in, since I am encouraging people to call in, kind of go out on a limb, 916-222-1116. Put it in your cell phone number, Sports Card Radio. Put us on speed dial. If you have like T-Mobile or whatever it is, put us in our in your favorite five so you can call us anytime, any day of the week for free. Hopefully, charges. If you're under 18, make sure you ask your parents about calling a long-distance phone number. Most of the time, almost every, even the service, the Magic Jack I got is like $40 for like 2 years, and it's like free call. I could call all day, all night for free. So phone calls have gotten a lot cheaper these days, but I encourage you, if you're a younger listener, do try to clear it with your parents just in case. You don't want people to just see a random phone number that might cost some money, even if it's a small amount. Sometimes I'm a penny pincher, and I don't like to see little bills like that come up. So 916-222-1116, give us a call, talk about anything you want. And right after this very, actually we're not going to cut out to break, I'm going to cut you right to our friend Daniel 4619 on YouTube, and the title of the video is Best Mail Day Cut Auto Hobby Box Break Mojo 6 of 6. Here we go, right now.
My baseball card story, I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. This happened June 14th of 2005. What happened was, I got out of the Navy, I was unemployed for a while, was collecting unemployment for like 6 months. Financially, I was just drained. It was month to month, day to day, getting through finances. Anyway, I don't know what I was thinking. I went on eBay and I got one of those, you know how people auction off their hobby boxes? I bid $99 on a 2004 SP Legendary Cuts, and I pulled a 2004 out of that box, Eddie Collins autograph 6/6, and I put it on eBay, and I had 9 positive feedbacks, and it sold for $1,424.99, and I didn't have any pictures at all. I was new to eBay. And this is the description I put. You could pause the film and read it. But that, like, helped me out with, like, 2 more months of living. So I went from $99 to $1,424.99. I put the reserve at $300. I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, I never pulled a card like that. I didn't know what it was worth. But anyway, and then I ended up getting a job, and everything worked out. But I don't want to say I took my last $99 and bought a box, but it was probably my second to last $99. And I pulled this card, and it got me through. But this is a once-in-a-lifetime story. I mean, it's hard to even believe, but it's true. And with the he was with the, what do they call, the Black Sox or whatever they called them, back in the 1909 I got here. I don't know. It was back in the day. Anyway, so that's just my story.
And we are back. What a great story about selling an Eddie Collins cut autograph. And he actually sent me an email maybe a day later, and he said he just checked eBay, and a 2008 SP Legendary Cuts Eddie autograph numbered out of 7 sold for $809, and his sold for $1,400, about $1,400. So it just goes to show you that sometimes it's when you sell it, sometimes it, obviously the economy back in when he sold it in 2005, there were people sitting on $500,000 homes, $1 million homes out here in California. So it all kind of depends on when you sell it and the timing. I noticed, like, if you sell something right after it comes out, especially some of the bigger hits, the cut autographs, sometimes you get some nice money for it, whereas a couple years later, maybe not as much. And definitely back when he sold it back in 2005, we're talking 5 years ago, there's definitely less cut autographs on the market, definitely less Eddie Collins cut autographs and things like that, although he probably doesn't have that many floating around there. But just a great story, probably one of those stories, kind of like he said, he may not have spent his last $99, but he probably could have used that $99. I get the feeling that he could have used that $99 for many, many other things, but it worked out great for him. Probably results not typical, but definitely a great example of how this hobby can sometimes reward you when you need it the most. I wouldn't always rely on the hobby doing that, but that's the great thing. It can do that, you know, like collecting other things, you know, other kind of collecting. If you collect coins or like artwork or things like that, obviously there's tremendous value. Even like old computers have shown, and old video games and old video game system have shown that they've had huge value. So no matter what you collect, there's always that chance that it'll go up in value. But the cards are kind of like that lottery, because sometimes, you know, that you don't have to wait for something to go up. Sometimes you can just buy, you know, like our friend here did, buy a $99 and hit a $1,400 card. So that is definitely possible in just a bit. In fact, in Score, I noticed our friend Tracy Hackler at Panini, who's in the marketing department there, who's been you know, doing a nice job helping us out, sponsoring us with these boxes, getting them out to us and stuff like that. He put up a tweet the other day about a card out of one of the cards out of Score Hockey that sold for like $2,000 or something, or for like a ridiculous amount of money for a 99 cent product. So it shows you that doesn't matter what you're opening, you always have that potential. There's always that potential, and that's what's great with the cards. I hope that the manufacturers, all of them, continue to try to do that. I don't think we want to make cards make it seem like it's gambling, or make it seem like, you know, that's what you really should be collecting it for, is like ripping and flipping and trying to, you know, turn $99 into $1,400. That's really not what it's about. But the potential of it being there makes hobby collecting boxes and opening boxes and doing those kind of things really exciting. You know, because to get the single card, if you're not a box collector and you don't like opening boxes, well, to get the single cards you need people to open up all the boxes, and that's what actually makes single cards cheaper, is once they're all opened up and they're all available, you know, all the people that want to put them on eBay and all the places where you can buy cards and trade for them, you know, you need all the product to open up. You don't need it sitting there unopened on the hobby shelf. So, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, we need the hobby. We need big hits like this, that you need to be capable of doing this in almost every product, or a lot of the products that come out. I know it's hard for the manufacturers. You can't do it in every product, and sometimes it gets, you know, cut autographs even now. Not that I wouldn't say that they're stale, but, you know, it's hard to put that $1,400 card out in every product. But the card companies, you know, they're trying, and it seems like they're doing a pretty good job. And the cut autographs always seem to help. And in baseball, you have like Mickey Mantle and Babe Ruth. You can always pop those guys in there. Those guys are always worth a grand or two on their own. So just a great story, and appreciate our listener and our friend sending that into us. He's actually emailed me before, and I encourage you to check out his YouTube clips and his other videos. He has some nice... some very nice mail days and some other things. He has 14 videos up. Daniel4619 on YouTube. You will find him. Well, let's just transition right into Topps Triple Threads Football. This is one of those sets where you could buy, although the boxes will probably cost you a little bit more than $99. Not that much more, I don't think. You might be able to get a big card out of here. $1,500 card, probably possible. Maybe one of the rookies, some of the one of one, or maybe the sleeve patches I was taking a look at down below. But this came out right around November 9th, so right around last week. In terms of the box you're going to get, I think it's like two packs. So I think you get the one autographed triple relic out of 99 or less, and you get one triple relic card numbered out of 36 or less. So in each pack, you're going to get three base cards numbered out of 1350 or less, two base parallel cards numbered out of 525 or less, and you're going to get that triple relic card out of 99 or less. So, and in a case, you're going to get one autographed triple relic card numbered one of one, and you're going to get one triple autograph card and triple relic card numbered to 36 or less. So you're going to get two triple autograph cards, basically one of one, 136 or less. So all the rookies in here. Dez Bryant's really been playing well. I know we've talked about him on the show, but Dez Bryant, the thing with the Cowboys, even though they don't have Tony Romo anymore, they're forced into where they have to throw a lot. Even though I think they beat the Giants this last weekend, I think they played a nice control game. John Kitna's still a fairly capable NFL quarterback. But the thing I noticed about Dez Bryant is I don't know if they've been working him in as kickoffs as much, because he is very valuable to their passing game now. The guy has enormous hands, and he seems very talented. So I like Dez Bryant. I'm sure his rookie cards have been going up. I don't know that for a fact, but I can imagine they were already fairly collectible and fairly high in value, but I can imagine people are paying a little bit more because I think he's had back-to-back 100-yard games or back-to-back touchdown games. So Dez Bryant's been playing well. Jermaine Gresham had a really, really good game for the Bengals. He fumbled it away at the end of the game, and it kind of looks like he lost the game for us because we had a chance to either tie or win the game there. We would have had Chad Ochocinco kick our extra point because our kicker was out of the game. So that would have been fun to see. But we had tons of opportunities before that game. So I wouldn't put it on Jermaine. Jermaine was actually a big reason why we got back into the game. Jermaine had a great game and showed why a lot of people think, including myself, he's going to be one of the best. He's going to be right when Tony Gonzalez kind of takes his step out of the NFL and Antonio Gates maybe gets a little bit older. Although we've seen the tight end is a position you can play extended years in the NFL for some. Those guys have played a decent amount of years, especially Tony Gonzalez. He's played a really long time. Jermaine Gresham, you know, I don't know if he's going to play that long, but he's playing well. Colt McCoy's gotten a chance. He beat somebody about a week ago, so he's been playing well. And of course, you got Tim Tebow in there. Sam Bradford is still looking nice. So we'll see what happens. But Dez Bryant, I think, has made the biggest move probably in the last week. And just because the Bengals are so bad, Jermaine Gresham, I almost won one of his. We talked about those rookie die cuts. I think I said on the show that I bid on one, and I think I only bid like $3 or $4. I almost won it. I think I only went for like $7 shipped. I should have put in like a dollar. I was going to pay like $12, so I might have to get back on there and buy another one. But I noticed it was a redemption card, so I'm going to get on there before they get redeemed, because I think I'll be able to get it for a cheaper price. So Jermaine Gresham, excited to see that he played well, Dez Bryant stepping up. But in terms of triple threads, you know, triple is the theme here. You're going to see lots of triple, even if it's one player. You're going to have three jersey pieces. You're going to have lots of triple cards with three different players, three jersey pieces, three autographs, triple book cards, triple everything. The jumbo sleeve patch cards, those number one of one. I see Dan Marino here. I don't know if these are game worn. It says game worn jersey right there. That sleeve patch looks tremendous. I don't know if that's game worn, but I see Felix Jones, Chris Johnson, Marquise Colston, Sam Bradford, Steve Smith. I don't know if we're seeing any game use. If you're opening some of this stuff, give us a call, 916-222-1116. Let us know if any of this stuff is game use from the rookies. At this point, these guys have played half a season. I can't imagine that their rookies are that hard to get on the secondary market, but maybe it is. Maybe it is hard to package these up, considering these probably were made maybe in the third or fourth game of the season. Maybe it's impossible to have game use from Tim Tebow or whatever in this. But they did play preseason game. I would count that as like an NFL game. I mean, I don't, you know, maybe give us a call on that, 916-222-1116. Do you count game worn, if it's a preseason game, is that the same as a regular season game? To me, yeah, probably so. I wouldn't, you know, Tim Tebow preseason game, as long as he got some snaps, I would count that as like game worn. I don't think if he got snaps, I mean, like actually he got snaps in preseason. There's been NFL games where he suited up and didn't get snaps. So I think that maybe preseason is more fitting for a rookie. So I don't know. You can give us a call, 916-222-1116. That's the Sports Card Radio, Sports Card Focus hotline. You can leave us a message anytime, any time of the day, any day of the week. You can call us on Christmas and leave us a message, and we'll play it on a future episode if either one of these podcasts, or probably more than likely over at Sports Card Focus. I'm really looking for content there, looking to get your voice out there, let people know that, hey, there's a lot of people collecting cards, there's a lot of people that care about it, a lot of people with opinions, and they're willing to share it, they're willing to call in to a line, and, you know, call into a small podcast at Sports Card Radio and support us and stuff like that. And we definitely appreciate it. I definitely appreciate it. We got like 200 and something members. We're pushing on 10,000 posts over at Sports Card Radio Fan Forum. So it's pretty amazing. So I want to appreciate, send thank you to all of you out there that listen and then also post on our fan forum. You are rewarded, especially from Panini America and FSFUK.co.uk. Sorry, sometimes I have to double check on that one. I'm going to memorize that by the end of the week, since we've got three box breaks coming from then. 2010 Bowman Chrome Baseball, 2010 Topps Chrome Football, in 2010 Topps Update Baseball, thanks to fsfuk.co.uk. We don't look like Panini shills at Sports Card Radio. We're doing three of the latest Topps boxes, thanks to fantasy sports fans in the UK. So we really, really appreciate them. You can check them out. They got a blog. They're going to be talking about fantasy. I actually have a basketball piece already written for them. I've been meaning to send it over. It's Steel Second over on the sportscardradio.com fan forum. He's the generous listener. He's one of the people behind the website over there. And I've actually got a piece on fantasy basketball that I'm going to be submitting to them. I've got two or three that I've got. I've been really following fantasy basketball, really excited about it. Been doing all right. I'm in like one fantasy or two fantasy footballs. Been doing okay, but the injuries have just been killing me in fantasy football. And then, like, I'm on like an ESPN league, and I didn't really know how to do it. I would have gotten Michael Vick if it was a Yahoo league, because I would have known how to pick him up, and I would have been on there much faster to do it, because my login name would have been, it just would have been so much simpler. So, you know, football's not going as well. Basketball's doing well. It's a long season. It's a long grind. So that's why I like it. Football is like quick. It's like going to the casino and plopping the 100 on the table and just hoping that you walk away with something. Whereas basketball, it's more like a poker tournament where you buy in and, you know, you've got hours and hours where you can sit there and fold and fold and fold and then finally play a hand. And you know, you can lose that hand, lose a bunch of hands and still have chips to play with. So that's kind of like how basketball is. So it's kind of a marathon, you know, whereas fantasy football is kind of a sprint or kind of a mile, you know, one of those 200 meter like half sprints. So, you know, we'll see where it all takes us. I got some I'll throw up some fantasy. So if you check out fsfuk.co.uk, you'll be able to see some of my fantasy basketball tips on there. We'll see if any of those pay off. But I've been also throwing those in our Sports Card Radio. We have Kid Garcia started a basketball NBA season thread, and I've been posting some of my guys. Channing Frye actually just got an opportunity. One guy I mentioned early on, he needed Robin Lopez to get hurt, and I don't ever root for guys to get hurt physically, personally. I know it puts a strain on them just day-to-day, even getting up in the morning. Those guys got to be sore, especially with like a sprained knee, as Robin Lopez now has, and Channing Frye's been playing pretty well the last few games. And I think it is Wesley Johnson or something. Wesley Johnson is a rookie this year. I think it's Wesley Matthews had a really nice game in his first game starting for Portland instead of Brandon Roy, who seems like he's just really trying to play through an injury he should just be resting on. So hopefully Portland sits him down, because I just picked up Wesley Matthews. So there's another guy to keep on. I think he's like a third or fourth year player. I could be wrong. He might be younger than that. But there's another sleeper. Basketball's really tough. A guy, you know, in baseball, a guy can come up like Starlin Castro came up, and his cards weren't worth very much. We talked about him on show number 46 before the baseball season started. You could have picked up his cards for not that much. He actually didn't have much on the market, but his cards right when they came out, even 2010 Bowman Chrome, I remember when they right when they first came out, weren't going for a whole lot. But when he made that debut, hit a couple triples, man, his cards go up a lot. You know, whereas in basketball, I'm sure Wesley Matthews saw some action online today, but not nearly as much as what happens in baseball. But basketball is all about consistency. If Wesley is putting up big numbers toward the end of the year and keeps doing it week after week, and Brandon Roy is sitting on the bench, you know, tending to his calf or his knee or whatever's hurt, then yeah, his cards will definitely start to go up. So, but it's definitely not as fast as it happens in baseball. Maybe it's definitely probably because there's more baseball collectors, but it just seems like baseball goes much faster. So that's another thing. If you're into selling, keep those kind of things in mind. If you're, you know, basketball's a good sport to collect, but it's more long-term. You can look at people, even like Tyreek Evans, his cards never really exploded like way up in value, except, you know, early on they did a little bit, but we're not talking like Steven Strasburg, even Buster Posey. We did a little piece on our Price Tracker blog, and I've been trying to do those at least once a month, and I'm going to try to do them even more, and my brother throws them up too. But you can find that on the homepage. If it's a little graph, a little picture of a little graph, a little Price Tracker blog. You find it on the left-hand side of the homepage too. But we basically pick a card, and then we pick a time frame, and then at the end of the time frame, we see if that card either goes up or down. We pick up or down, and I picked Buster Posey a while back. His Bowman, I think it's either 2000, I think it's 2008 Bowman Chrome Draft. They were selling for about $90. It was about a month before the baseball season ended, and I was banking on the Giants making the playoffs and Buster kind of being a part of it. And obviously, both of those things worked out. You couldn't have called those any better. And I kind of predicted his cards would go up, and they definitely went up. And I'm not sure what they were selling for about $88, I think, or maybe less than that. It might have been like $77, $80, somewhere in that range. I mean, I was predicting they were going into the $90 range, I believe. And some of them were selling for about $100. And that was right before the playoff. That was before the Giants won the World Series. So I even know. You can check the blog, or you can check eBay or wherever you buy cards. Those cards are probably selling for pretty decent money. I'm sure right after the World Series, they were selling for definitely triple digits. So good to see that some of the guys we talk about on the show. I know that actually Daniel, our listener, Daniel 4619 on YouTube, actually took advantage. He got a nice Buster Posey card, I think, before the Giants were in the World Series. I think a Madison Bumgarner, too. So hopefully he took advantage of that. I'm pretty sure that's the same person that sent me an email a while back with those cards. So, so we'll see what happens. Well, we talked about triple threads football. We've talked about limited basketball. We've talked about hitting it big. We've talked about our contest. We've talked about our call-in line, 916-222-1116. After this short break, give us a call. Give us a call while we go on this short break. Give us, tell me, in the last, we're in November, so it's been 11 months. We're almost 12 months into the year. Give me your best product for the last 11 months. What's been the one you've been the most excited about? The one you've collected the most, the one you spent the most money on, the one you like the design the most, whatever you want, any sport, all the sports, you can leave me a message, 916-222-1116. We'll come back right after this with lots more stuff. And we are back. Last segment, we don't have a question of the day. I'll make sure we do either a question of the day, a buy, sell, hold, or something on the next show. And we'll hopefully incorporate maybe it via voicemail at some point. So we'll play those maybe in a series. I think that would actually be fun to hear from all of you as well. So last segment, we'll talk a little bit about vintage cards, just kind of off the top of my head. I remember going to the San Francisco show, the TriStar San Francisco, and I was in a little bit better financial situation back there. I remember spending about I spent more to get there and at lunch and to get into the place than I did at the joint. But hopefully I'll be able to make it when it rolls around next year, and hopefully my girlfriend is nice enough to take me again, because I'll probably still be too cheap to buy a car. But hopefully I'll have a little bit more money to spend, because I remember seeing tons of vintage cards, just graded, just ungraded, but mainly graded, just guys sitting with tons of guys that look like collectors themselves, just sitting there reading a magazine or reading the newspaper with boxes of cards sitting out there. A lot of them were unpriced, and that's kind of my point here. I think if you're a vintage card collector and you're looking for the best value, and you're looking for maybe the best selection. Obviously, online is the easiest. You can go to eBay 24 hours a day. You can go to any website and find cards, find people willing to trade you cards 24 hours a day. So the selection is there online. But the prices online tend to be kind of like set in there. You know, like somebody asks for what something's worth, somebody's going to go to eBay or go to checkoutmycards.com or go to Beckett and find what the card's worth. And so you're going to be, everybody's going to be getting their information from the same place. Whereas at a card, you know, at a card show, there's some negotiation there. You might be able to sweet talk the dealer. Maybe he's been, maybe he just made a huge sale. Maybe he sold his Mickey Mantle for a couple grand and he just paid for his table and more and all his lunch and his hotel and his car and everything for the whole month. And maybe he's sitting on, you know, for the next 6 months. Maybe he's good for the next 6 months and he's willing to cut deals now face to face. You know, on eBay, it doesn't really work. You know, there's set price, especially when things end at auctions and things like that. And nobody ever sets like ridiculously low buy it nows. They tend to be high and tend to be on the high end because they want to hit that kind of casual sale or that search traffic sale. So at card shows, you can get face to face, or if you're buying like 40 cards, you can say, hey, they're priced at $8 each. Let's do it for six. You know, will you do it for six? And maybe they'll say yes, whereas that doesn't, you know, typically happen on eBay. And you know, you don't have to pay for shipping and things like that. So it probably goes for all cards. But I noticed at the San Francisco show, aside from a lot of autographed memorabilia and stuff like that, there was tons of vintage cards, and there was tons of like high quality vintage cards, and there was a lot of like, I wouldn't say lower grade, but affordable vintage card is probably the way to put it. So I think if you're in bigger cities, obviously it works. If you're in like the East Coast or in Texas, in New York or Boston or some of these bigger cities, that Chicago, I know, has quite a bit of shows as well. You'll be able to attend these kind of things. But that's the thing I noticed out here in San Francisco. And I'm really looking forward to heading to another card show here in the near future. They actually have some booths set up at the mall where I have the mall. I guess it's really profitable for a mall. I know if you rent space in a mall, this is if you open a business and you want to open a space in the mall. Well, your rent typically is one price for about 6 months, 6 or 7 months out of the year. And then for 4 or 5 months out of the year, right about now, your rent like triples. But hopefully your sales quadruple or 5x at the same time because you get tons of traffic. But I noticed the mall, obviously most malls, you have stores on either side and then you have a large walking space in the middle, usually with like kiosk and things like that. And those change from time to time. Well, now there's like booths of a lot of people selling like jerseys. They're fake like jerseys and stuff like that. And there's autographs and I hope that they're real, but you know, I don't take the time to really, I'm not an autograph expert, so I'm not 100% sure if they are or not. But I don't see a lot of cards being for sale. You know, it's a lot of kind of memorabilia. There's about 4 or 5 tables, but there's some cards, but it tends to be like Giants rookies and things like that. I guess they think that kind of stuff will sell around here. You don't see a lot of, you know, you don't see like John Wall autographs, or you don't see a big table of vintage cards and PSA 7 vintage cards and things like that. So, you know, in a town like I live in, which is like over 500,000 people, we're actually pushing, we're probably closer to 1 million people than 500,000. You know, even us, we don't have any card stores or things like that. So hopefully you're lucky enough to do that. But I think at card stores, even you get price, you know, depending on the owner, some owners are more willing to cut deals than others. And it may be when you catch them at the times of the month, and it maybe depends on what you're buying and things like that. But some owners don't have a huge stock. But I noticed at card shows, if you're a vintage card collector, if you're looking to start up a collection, and you're looking online and you're kind of frustrated, kind of like I was kind of looking for, you know, more mid-price stuff, but it's on there. But you know, after shipping and all the BS and all that other stuff, you know, you end up paying a lot of money For things. So whereas in a card show, you might be able to just wham bam it. So if you're lucky enough to maybe travel to one or maybe plan one out and things like that, maybe where you can spend a day there or spend a half day there, or maybe take the, they're usually run over a weekend. So if you're lucky enough to get the weekend off or something, or maybe get one day off a week, maybe you'll be able to head on over to the show. So I encourage you to do that. Most seasoned veteran vintage card collectors already know that, but if you're kind of getting into it, or it's just kind of a random observation, I guess I had for vintage cards. I gotten some emails and some comments, and I'm definitely interested in vintage cards. It's the one area of cards I love getting the boxes from Panini and from our sponsors and from people that send them to us and stuff like that over the, you know, over the course of this year. And so we definitely appreciate all of them and appreciate the people that are doing it now. You know, I love doing the new stuff and it's always exciting. But, you know, in terms of buying singles and things like that, outside of, you know, Bengals players and some of the Giants process, I didn't take advantage as much as I probably should have of buying Madison Bumgarner's and Buster Posey cards. But, you know, I do like vintage, and it's kind of one of those things that you can kind of jump into at any time and feel comfortable with your investment, feel like it's not going to go down that much as long as you're buying at the right price. And if you can find a deal, if you can go to a show, maybe pick up 20 cards from one guy or find a guy that's blowing it out. Like I said, you know, I think I told this story on one of the shows. I saw one guy come up and buy a guy's whole case minus a couple items. It was like he was like dropping hundreds on the table. I thought like this was incredible. I thought, you know, somebody had won the lottery or something. So big money gets spent. Sometimes a dealer might, you know, sell out of a case and have another one in the truck ready to go. So, you know, you never know what kind of deals you might get at a card show. And I think vintage cards especially are plentiful there, and you can find them in larger quantities than you can maybe at a card store. And online, obviously, it's tough to kind of go searching, and some of the lower dollar stuff is sometimes harder to find online as well. And even some of the harder to find cards don't pop up there as much. So head on over to a card show. That's maybe my final plug of the day. I don't think I've got a whole lot else to plug other than our phone number, 916-222-1116. I encourage you to give us a call, leave us a message. You know, hey, let us know about your favorite products. Tell us what companies could be doing better. Let us know what they used to do in the past, either box configuration wise or card insert wise, or tell them that you don't like sticker autographs. Tell them that you like them, but only in retail products. Give us a call. Let us know anything. You can give us some feedback on our site. You can give us feedback on any other sites that you see out there. You know, give us a call. We want to hear from you. We will play what you have to say as long as it's hearable or audible, I guess is probably a better word to say. And if it's really, really explicit, we might have to throw in a couple beeps. But I you know, cards shouldn't get you that upset and that riled up. But if it does, you know, we'll deal with it and we'll handle it. And I know the listeners will appreciate your passion and your takes. Send them to 916-222-1116. That wraps it up today, guys. That's the end of the program. We'll come back real shortly with another one. We'll have the Sports Card Focus podcast once I get enough calls from you. 916-222-1116. Give us a call after this podcast ends. Right now, Sports Card Show is out of here.